I'm Wendy Wallner. I'm here on behalf of Anthem EAP to talk to you about a topic that I have become incredibly passionate and caring about. So thank you for taking some time to really delve into a topic that isn't comfortable to talk about: grief, dying, death, end of life, all of the different areas that really are so much part of our worlds and our families, but we're not necessarily skilled in. How do we begin the conversation? How do we feel about it? And ultimately, why it's such an important part of our life. So a little bit about me. I was trained as a cognitive behavioral therapist. I ran several grief groups, particularly I think the one that stands out is after September 11th. I worked with the widows during that horrific time. And I can tell you over the last 30 years of my professional career, I have learned a lot. But this is also a very personal topic. Unfortunately, like everyone else, I've lost near and dear loved ones. I've had what I call the phone call where I got the phone call for a very sudden death, and I've had the very long, drawn-out dying death in my family. So again, I want to thank you for a few minutes, and I want to invite you into really embracing to learn some new and some different techniques to help us really truly understand and manage this process that is part of our world. So the first thing I just want to just take a moment, because so many people always say, well, Wendy, what stage of grief am I in? Right? Those five stages of grief that we all hear about: denial and anger, and then there's bargaining and depression and acceptance. So first, let me just clarify, when that research was done, it was actually done to help terminally ill patients deal with ultimately dying and their death. So that's where the research came from. It actually never was meant to be rolled out or discussed in the grief process of losing. So I think the first takeaway is to know there are no stages, there's no 1 year, there's no markers, there are some guidelines. You have the right to feel however you feel. And by the way, if it's a relationship and a loss of a loved one that is very complicated, and you say to me, I'm not really sure I feel this way about my parent dying, it's okay. So the beginning place is we're just allowed to feel what we feel. The second really important takeaway is to understand there's no beginning and there's no middle and there's no end. There's not an exact moment in time where we're going to say, yep, I'm good. I'm good. Yep, I'm good. I'm over it. I'm good. What is going to happen is that we're going to learn how to wear it and how to grow with it. And we're going to understand the individual relationship we have with the loss of a loved one, or the grief of a pet, or the grief of an ex-husband, or the grief of a job. There are so many different things in our life that are relevant to this. What you are going to do is learn to really, truly embrace where you're at. So look at some of the things. You know, maybe all of a sudden you're not sleeping at night. You're thinking about the person or the situation incessantly all of the time. You're beginning to wonder, is this all worth it, right? It's making you really have these very, very, very profound conversations. Hungry, not hungry, not managing stress, over-exercising. I mean, there are so many different ways to ask yourself, is the why I'm feeling this because of my situation, because of losing a loved one, because of a recent diagnosis? You know, I work with some clients who've been diagnosed with cancer, and ultimately, thankfully, their diagnosis is one very encouraging and very optimistic, but they still tell me they feel a sense of grief in what they have to go through, and they feel a sense of grief in how it's transformed their lives. So it's incredibly important. There's so many takeaways for today, but one of them is this is a complicated topic. This is a topic that I wish we actually taught to kindergartners and all the way up. So yes, have this conversation with your children, because it's not if we die, it's when we die. We don't know the particulars in most situations, but it's part of the conversation to talk about How do we feel about it? How do we feel? This is a chance to bring in your faith, your belief. This is a chance to talk to your loved ones, your colleagues, your coworkers about what do you think happens? There's no judgment here. But what we do know is the more we talk about it, the more comfortable and the healthier we are with that relationship. One of my colleagues has coined this brilliant phrase, calls it a double death, which means somebody in your life has died and it's so painful you never talk about them again because it's too painful to talk about them. And I think it's a really interesting point that he says, you know, it's like they died and then they never lived. And so in my world, I make sure that in my children's rooms, you see pictures of their stepdads and their grandfather and various people and even their pets that have been part of their life that help me shape who they are. We are not trying to fix the pain. We are trying to acknowledge the pain. We are trying to own the pain and we're trying to learn from the pain. So as we delve into it, we want to be that person. So if you're sitting here listening and you're thinking, well, Wendy, it's not me, but my coworker, my colleague, someone who works for me, the person, my neighbor is going through a tough time, what can I do? The first thing I want to tell you is really embrace talking to them. I'm helping someone now whose husband's entering hospice. And I simply just ask her, do you want to talk about it today? Where are you? I do what I call a check-in. No judgment. The other thing is, you know, sometimes it's really the helpful things. Can I run to the store? Can I set something up for you? Can I bring some little bit of peace into your life? One of the other things that I really want to take a moment and really acknowledge is very often during trying times, and especially what we're talking about today, when there's a beginning where we find out that somebody may be facing or maybe our own mortality, we stop doing self-care. It makes sense, right? I mean, I remember the day my father had a heart attack. The last thing I felt like I could do was eat. And I'm an eater. I'm a comfort food eater. And I thought a lot about, okay, I can make this situation much worse by me getting sick. So I'm encouraging you to really use this time to be the healthiest version of yourself. Eat the healthiest you've ever done. Exercise in a way that works for your mental health. Find your own way to create a place. If you came to my office, you'd see some of my dad's favorite things. You'd see family members. I have my own place that works for me. And you want to also make sure that you're really taking care of your sleep. This is a really good time to be mindful about alcohol use. This is a really good time to watch all of the different things that you're putting in your body, because it becomes very easy to turn to a food or a drink when we're feeling a certain way. So I'm encouraging you to be mindful of that. And I'm encouraging you to not suppress how you're feeling and to use all the resources that you have. And finally, to really embrace learning how this unfortunate event, this incredible loss, is shaping you. We have a beautiful skill set of resilience in us. And there are amazing stories, and I guess a great story to end with that reminds me sometimes when I'm feeling a certain way is, if you all remember, the Chilean miners that were trapped for so many days, and it didn't look like they were going to get out. It really looked very dismal, and there's a great movie, and there's all these kinds of books you can read. And one of the gentlemen in charge, or one of the miners said, we need to keep ourselves in the best shape. And so they ran barefoot in dark tunnels because on the small chance that they were going to be able to be rescued, they wanted to be in the right shape. And I sometimes think about when I feel an overwhelming sense of grief or despondency or sadness, I ask myself, what do I need to do to feel more inspired? So again, I want to thank you for taking time out. I want to encourage you to make this part of your conversation with yourself, with your loved ones. Really bring this into our everyday conversation. The more normal it becomes, the more we get together on it, and the more support we have. So it's been an honor and a pleasure spending some time with you today. I am so grateful that you took some time, and I want to thank you. Have a great day.